for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday morning service of September the 1st, 1996, Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. David Freck is the speaker of the morning.
So they agreed. They saw the police massing, and they agreed. And so they followed in behind me, and we went out the door. And as soon as we got out past the people, the police surrounded us, seized our passports, and took us up underneath the tent. And that was fine. We were sitting there. We didn't know if they were going to arrest us, if they weren't going to arrest us, and how they were going to handle it. And, you know, it's amazing what cock-assuredness you have as an American in a foreign land. I'm an American. They're not going to touch me. Had nothing to do with being a preacher. Had nothing to do with being a man of God. Had nothing to do with the anointing. It had everything to do with my citizenship. Bless God, I'm an American. Can't you tell? How dare you arrest me? I'm an American. You know, my government's not going to let you get away with this. Now, I want you to understand something. God's given us things through this whole thing that's going to bring us to an ultimate confrontation. Well, that would have been fine, but the people gathered around the tent, they weren't yelling, they weren't screaming, they weren't telling, you know, they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there quietly. The police wanted them dispersed, so they ran into the crowds for a second time with their sticks in hand and began to beat the people. And as they began to beat the people, a few of them decided they weren't going to take a beating anymore. And all of a sudden, as if in absolute harmony, the sky turned black with the hail of the stones that were being thrown. We were in the middle of the day, and I'm telling you, the sky went black. Can you imagine 10,000 people throwing stones at one time? And all of a sudden, launched. I looked up, and I was shocked by it all. I didn't know. And then I looked over, and I realized we had to stop this. And so me and the rest of the men, we ran out there, and we stood between the crowds and the police, and we were waving our hands saying, "Stop! Don't throw the stones." The police are running for cover, jumping under jeeps, getting under the tent, finding a place where they're protected. And the people quit throwing the stones. And then all of a sudden, the police come running out with guns in hand and begin to fire into the crowds. Now, I want you to understand what a miracle this whole process was. I'm talking about taking a gun, not just one bullet. I'm talking many guns and firing in to a crowd of 10,000 people. The density of that. We're not talking about a vast field. We're talking about a road, basically, and a couple inroads. Firing into the people, to my knowledge, only one person was shot, and they were hit in the leg. To my knowledge, only one person. That's a miracle. It really is. It's a supernatural provision of God. Now, that young man died because they refused him care. Gangrene set in after a week, and he died within a few days. And he was a young preacher of the gospel. I remember him sitting under the tent. He was smiling, and he was in pain. They drug him in. They just threw him down, kicked him a few times. We'd go over to minister to him. The police would stop us. That sealed our fate, saints. We're going to prison. That did it. Am I willing to lay hold of the power of God to become a witness, a martyr? Now, remember that the character of a martyr is not somebody who has lost their life, but somebody who has given their life. And at one moment in time, they didn't let us sleep for a few days. Every time we'd get a little tired, get a little comfortable, they'd load us up into the back of their paddy wagon and they'd start hauling us off to some new place. Going through the jungles, we had no idea where we were going, knew that nobody knew. But I remember one time, late at night, they pulled up to, they pulled off the side road, which they did, so they could go to the bathroom, smoke their cigarettes, do whatever they wanted to do. And I remember this one time they pulled over and they unloaded us. Come on, get up, get out. And they were angry for some reason. We didn't know what we had done, but they treated us semi-decently up to that moment. They lined us up against a wall. They took the lead Jeep and the following Jeep and the paddy wagon, and they pointed all of their headlights towards us up against this wall. And then the soldiers stood between the headlights and us, the shadows being cast clean up to where we were standing. They put their guns to their shoulders and they cocked them. And I realized for the first moment I am very possibly going to be asked to give my life right now. They've cocked their guns. They've got us in firing squad position. And they're about to shoot us dead. And I remember as they were doing that, I looked at the guys that were with me, and there was fear in some of their eyes. Others had peace. Nobody said anything. Nobody said a word. Because for the first time, every one of us felt absolutely and positively alone. There were probably up to 50 people there, 10 of us and 40 guards. And while I was surrounded, rubbing shoulder to shoulder with two precious brothers in the Lord, for the first time, I was utterly and completely alone. I remember looking at one man on my one side, and he looked at me, and he had fear in his eyes, and I gave him this self-assured, "Be strong, brother." And I was doing okay until I looked down the barrel of the man. I saw the man who had his gun pointed at me. I found him in the crowd. I found him, and I looked down, and I saw that barrel, and I saw it pointing at me. And when I looked at that barrel, it was the finger of God. It became the finger of God pointing to me, and it pointed right into my heart, because for the first time, I knew that I was not willing to die. I have preached it. I have declared it. I have appropriated it in the sense of letting people know that I was willing. I'd even embraced it with a jolly, nonchalant attitude while we sat in the hotel in Rajahmundry. But now God is pointing his finger at me, and he's looking at me right to my heart, and he is exposing my unwillingness. You lying hypocrite. You preach, give your life. He is your life. You liar. And saints, I didn't have to answer to a priest. I didn't have to answer to a preacher. I didn't have to answer to a group of people like this today. I had to answer to the finger of God. And I realized for the first time in my life that for the real reality of the Holy Spirit, I was unwilling to give my life. I was unwilling to die. Now, I'm going to ask a question right now. I don't want anybody to answer it except for in your own heart of hearts. Are you willing to die? I dare say most of you don't know. You only think you know. But when God pointed his finger, when I was looking down the barrel of that Indian rifle, and God pointed his finger, and he pointed it straight into my heart and said, "You said you've given me everything. You have not given me your life. You've given me your talents. You've given me your preaching. You've given me your giftings. You've given me your efforts. You've given me your money. You've given me your time. You've given me your energies. You have given me everything but what I really want. I want you, David Freck. I want you without fear. I want you without trepidation. I want you without aspersions to your own selfish desires, plans, and schemes. I want you. For my purpose, whatever that purpose is." Now, here's the problem. Right now, I am going to die. And I can either come into the glory, or I can come into the condemnation of that moment. The glory of that moment is that I give it. And they can't take it from me then. If I've given my life, they can't take it from me, brother. Jesus looked Pilate square in the eye, and Pilate says, "Don't you realize I have the power of your life in my very hand?" And Jesus looked at him and says, "You have no power at all." He says, "I'm here because I'm giving my life. You can't take it from me." And we all know that he died. Doesn't that seem to be unreasonable? What did he mean, "I'm giving you my life"? I'm giving my life. You can't take it. It looked like they took it. No, they didn't take it. He gave it. You think he gave it just because he had the power to get out of it? No. He gave it because it's the character and the power of the Holy Spirit. That I am not my own. Jesus said, "This life is but a temporal moment. I've got an eternal purpose I must fulfill with my blood. And unless I give my life, the validity of that blood is non-essential." Understand something, saints. If they'd have took his life on the cross, that blood would have lost its power. Did you hear me? He couldn't have had it taken. He had to give it. He had to be a lamb willingly led to the slaughter. The question is, how willing are we? When we can't even get up early on Sunday morning, when we won't even share the gospel with somebody when God impresses it upon our heart because we're afraid of a little persecution or seeming a little odd. And you think you'll stand in that day with a gun pointed down your finger or looking at a guillotine or looking at years of imprisonment because of a faith, and you'll wonder, you will assess the very quality and essence and eternity of that faith, and you'll make a decision. Is it worth it? I'd like to tell you today that the end times is going to be so glorious for you all. I would like to be able to stand with you and say, we're going to rapture right out of this deal and not have a thing to worry about in life. I'd also like to say that God in his sovereignty is going to so hedge and keep his people that they'll see it all around them, but they'll never themselves experience it. But you want to know what? That's a lie. There is the very real and imminent possibility you will face a moment similar to that one. And when God points his finger at you, what are you going to find? Are you going to find the horrible selfishness that I found in me? The ego, the pride, the manipulation, the me kingdom thing. Are you going to find that? Or are you going to find the reality of this is my life and I give it unto you? Lord, if it's in some remote village out in the middle of nowhere in India and it seems as though nobody will even know my name, you have an eternal purpose that you will fulfill by the shedding of my blood. I've got a beautiful... I can't fully validate it, but I believe that it's true. The Bible says in Matthew 24, verse 14, that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. I want you to be confronted with something. I believe that every nation must have the blood of martyrs spilled in it before the end comes. Because in Revelation chapter 6, it is the blood of the martyrs that cries out from every nation. How long, oh God, has there been one drop spilled in America? How, to what extent? Now let me tell you something, saints. This is glory. When you realize that Jesus, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, through the eternal Spirit, the Bible says that he also operates in this ministry through the power of an endless life. You want to know something, saints? You're going to come into an absolute fearlessness when you deal with the issue of your own temporalities. When you deal with the issue of whether they're taking it or whether you're giving it, because either way, you're going to be just as dead. You're going to be just as dead, and the issue is what kind of glory will you come into? Will you come into the glory of one who has given their life? Or will you come into the sorrow of one when faced with an ultimate reality, shrieked away and had it taken? I don't want to give the devil that opportunity. It's obvious they didn't kill me. Either that or I'm standing before you with a glorified body. It's obviously they didn't shoot me that day. Happened. Now I want you to hear this. When it was firm silence, and it seemed as though in just a moment the fingers would be pressed and the bullets would come and rend through our flesh. And everything in me wanted to scream. I want you to hear this. Everything in me wanted to scream, no! But I didn't. I wouldn't beg for my life. I wouldn't crumble. I would have died in my pride, unwilling to give my life. Deal with that reality. I told you we were going to be confronted with ultimate realities. That's exactly what you're being confronted with. You'll say, that'll never happen to me. That's what I said. But you're a preacher. I don't care. Stephen was just an elder in the church, just a deacon. And that seemed as the silence seemed to last forever. I mean forever. So long that God preached at least 3 or 4 million messages to me. And then the silence was broken when the guns came down and the soldiers began to laugh. Oh, not just a sweet little tender laugh, but I mean a deep down belly laugh. And you want to know what I heard? I heard the devil. We called your bluff, preacher, and we found out what you're made of. Did you hear how big he preached? How great he thought, but when he came down to it, he couldn't give it. The devil nailed me. You big old fake. Was I saved? Yeah. Would I have gone to heaven? Yeah. I know I would have. I had no doubt about my salvation. I have every doubt about my crown. What are you pressing to the mark for? For the prize of mediocrity? for the prize of the high call. What are you living this life for? Are you living it just to do your thing and make it, have a couple successes in life, and enjoy a good feeling once in a while? We don't like to deal with ultimate realities, do we? Because we're confronted with things that are so deep, so personal, that we shiver. It would have been much more comfortable this morning if I could have got up and told you anything else but. And as I said, once I started speaking, I knew there would be people that would absolutely turn the volume down. There was others that'll turn the volume up, because God is giving you an opportunity before the moment of confrontation to deal with an ultimate reality in your spirit. Are you willing to give your life? Whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's not just a little saying that sounds good and well fit in a couple well-fined sermons. That's an ultimate reality. But if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. I don't want to lose mine. I'm talking about my soulish life. I don't want to lose that. I want my whole spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of that day. What about you? This is the opportunity of the Holy Spirit. This is the purpose of why you were filled, if indeed you were. Please understand, I'm not being mean-spirited. I'm not wanting to cast aspersions. That's not my heart. That's not my spirit this morning. But I want you to be so confronted that you have to even question every element of your life. You have to examine it so thoroughly that when you get done, you'll know that you know that you know. That you will be not be shaken, whether there is streams, whether there are rivers, whether there is torrents, whether there is fire, whether there is difficulty, hardship, persecution, or whether all is well. You will know that you know that you know. Because in this life there is going to be something more powerful than just a message. It is a demonstration of a life who understands that their life is hid with Christ in God. And to take this means only an immediate and an absolute graduation into the portals of glory without fear or favor. That in one moment you might take the breath of my life, but you won't take the life of my breath. Hallelujah! I live and move and have my being in the Lord God Almighty. Paul said something real distinctive. He said, I don't count my life dear. How many of us can really say that? Now, can I tell you what I was ultimately confronted with? I'm done right here. I promised you, and I'm sorry I took more than I have to, because I just don't have any more energy. Can I tell you what stood between me and my willingness to give my life? Can I be honest with you? I've been real honest so far. I'd be ashamed to stop now. I had three idols. God spoke deep into my spirit. And when that gun was pointing at my heart and the finger of God had illuminated me, God said, you're an idolator. But I really appreciate those of you that have these wonderful testimonies, how God, when he speaks to you, he comforts you and he encourages you and he blesses you. He never does that with me. He doesn't. He slaps me around and he beats me real good and he says, get right, kid. Good. You mean I got that to look forward to? Praise God. Two blondes and a redhead. One idol was named Tracy. Another idol was named Charity. And another idol was named Tony. By the way, that's my wife and my two daughters, in case any of you thought I had mistresses on the side. I want you to hear this now. An idol, clearly defined, is that one singular thing that stands between you and your willingness to give your life for the purposes of God. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how justified you might feel feeling that way. But when it came down to it, why did I want to cling to my life? Because who's going to watch out for my wife? Who's going to take care of my children? That's my responsibility. That's what you want me to do. You've given me the office of father and husband for a reason, and I like that office. I like raising my daughters. I love my wife. I mean, how many would understand this is a justifiable idol? And ultimately, aren't all idols justifiable? You can find a reason to cling to them? Because ultimately, I mean, I can quote a lot of scriptures that would require me to hang around, to manipulate my mind and to be contented that I can resist God's ultimate purpose. God corrected me. Do you think I would require your life and not have the power to care for your wife and your children? That I will be your husband? That I will be your father? Give them to me because I will be that to them. And you've got to trust me. You've got to give them to me for that purpose. That if I require this of you, you can do it. How many justifiable idols have you sitting on the mantle of your soul this morning? It's the only thing that's going to separate you from them taking it or you giving it. How many want to give it? How many know the blessing is in the giving? Have you figured that out in Christendom yet? That the blessing's in the giving. That if I give, guess what? I can be guaranteed the fruit, but if they take it, there's no blessing associated with it. There's no imminent blessing. It'll fulfill the purpose of God, but there'll be no imminent eternal blessing for the one giving it or the one letting it be taken. This afternoon, will you let him? Will you let him have the idols this morning? The idols don't have to be demons. The idols don't have to be sick, frothing, perverse things. They can be beautiful, lovely, honorable things. Things as precious as this precious woman right here. So, Father, in Jesus' name, in the still solemnity of the silence of this moment, as you are certainly confronting our souls, and you're dealing with a depth and a reality that so many of us have been unwilling to face, forgive us for our shallowness. Forgive us, Father, for our unwillingnesses. Forgive us for our own ideals and our categories that have denied you the lordship and the supremacy that you've asked of us. Holy Spirit, throughout this congregation of people right now, I pray that you will so rest and that we will come into a true baptism. Lord, if people here have only been swashing around in the ankle-deep water, would you bring us further in? Would you bring us to a point where it overwhelms us and overcomes us, where we become lost in your purpose and in your plan? Where everything that has been precious to us no longer is precious for the sake of your kingdom? That your kingdom is the ultimate reality, that your kingdom is the ultimate goal, that your purpose on the earth is the only thing we desire. Oh God, can you bring a people together this morning that will fall upon their face and will heed your call, will surrender their idols, and will be filled with your power? The power to be a witness. Oh, Ramasata Ramashiki. This is an ultimate confrontation this morning, saints, and I'm not going to apologize for the message. I only apologize for the time. But right now, in Jesus' name, you've got to give God some more time. Don't let me take it from you. Don't let me take it. Don't let the service take it. Give it. And right now, in Jesus' name, God's confronted you, just like he confronted me, that his finger has pointed straight into your soul, and he said, I want you. You are unwilling. I want you. Give your idols to me now. Prepare yourself for an ultimate reality. God may never require this of you. And I don't believe he's going to require it of everybody. He's got to have a remnant here. He's not going to require it of everybody. I'm confident in that. But he's going to require it from some. Right now in Jesus' name, we're going to do an old-fashioned altar call. This is not for the unsaved. This message was not a salvation message. It had nothing of the character of salvation in the sense of bringing you to the cause of Christ. If you want to call upon the name of the Lord, I encourage you to do so right where you're sitting right now. Confess your sins, repent of it, and let him bring you into his kingdom. But I am not promising you lilies and roses, fine cars and diamond rings. I am promising you the purposes of God and a life of such satisfaction and fulfillment and power that you will be able to overcome everything that comes into your life. But if you as a believer recognize that you need a deeper baptism in the Holy Spirit than you had, and you've had idols standing in your way and you're ready to confront it, I want you right now in Jesus' name to just get out of your seat and come to this altar area. I want you to stand across here. It's an ultimate confrontation this morning. It's an ultimate confrontation, oh God. I wish I could lay my hands on you and give it to you. I can't. You've got to just get it right straight from the throne itself. But there's an ultimate confrontation that God is placing over your spirit and mine this morning, and He cannot allow this to continue on. I've got to take you to a deeper level, a higher level, a good, profound ministry than what you've known, experienced, or had in your life to this day. And there are many of you that right now, the issue, the real character, the real issue is that you and I have got to lay down our idols, because that is the thing that is standing between you and an ultimate baptism. That is the thing. Your idol might be different than mine. It might not be a wife. It might not be children. Your idol might be money. Your idol might be self-serving. Your idol might be comfort. Your idol could be anything. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to put your finger on our idols. I ask you to put your finger on our idols. Lord, every man, every woman that has come, every boy, every girl that has come and is standing right now, put your finger on their idols. Point it out. Make it specific. Make it clear so they know what they're laying down. So that with an act of their will, they can surrender it. Oh, God. Do it right now, Father. As the Holy Spirit points it out, as He makes it clear and certain inside of you. You know, I'm even convicted in my soul. There's some of you that just followed the crowd. You're standing up here not because there's any true conviction in your spirit, but just because you got in behind somebody. You didn't want to be one of those sitting out there. Oh, God. Go so deep. Come on, saints, bemoan it, bewail it, release it, give it. Oh, Tayamosaka. Oh, Kayamosaka. Oh, Kayomoramasi. Misho Yarimo Yate Yamo Hisikisi. Oh, Yanomosi Orayaboshiki. Hallelujah. 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 Ultimate confrontations, oh God. Ultimate idolatry, oh God. We're laying them down. Father, we lay down right now. We grind the chalk stone in our own spirit and heart. We grind the chalk stone, the idols of family, the idols of children, the idols of grandchildren, the idols of husbands, of wives. Lord God, we lay them down. Not that we're to abandon them, not that we're not to love them any less, but Father, that we will not take the precedence. We are giving you the priority. We are giving you our lives. Father, we lay down. We lay down careers. We lay down ministries. Father, we lay down the idols of ministry. We lay down the idols of careers. We lay down the idols of giftings. We lay down the idols of even calls. Father, we lay down the idols. We lay down the idols of perverseness. We lay down the idols of self-will. We lay down the idols of comfort and even our fear of pain and suffering. We lay down our ideologies. We lay down our philosophies. We lay them down this morning. We lay them down. Oh God, take them all. Grind them to powder. Grind them to powder. Grind them to powder. Grind them to powder. Lord, let them no longer arise. Let them not stand before you and me. Let them not stand before your ultimate purpose and mine. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, get ready, saints. Get ready for a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Prepare yourself to be infilled by the Spirit of God. Would you prepare yourself for it? As you're standing there and as you have laid them down. I can't lay them down for you. You got to lay them down. But as you do, in Jesus' name, get your hands up towards heaven and surrender. Just surrender to God. Just surrender to the Spirit. Surrender to His purpose. Surrender to His plan. Surrender to Him. Surrender, 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 surrender. Because we're not talking about getting tongues this morning. We're not talking about getting a gift. We're not talking about some manifestation gift or a feeling or a sense. We're talking about an ultimate reality that God is going to anoint you for the purpose of giving your life. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I release through the anointing of the Holy Ghost your power and your unction and your spirit, Lord God, that will give us the heart to give of our very life in the name of Jesus. We will not count our lives dear to ourselves, but Father, only for your purpose will we count our lives. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you would descend out of heaven and you would fill every heart and every life, every sincere seeker and believer right now by the Spirit of God. Sweep, 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 sweep over our souls, oh God. Come on, just receive it. You got to receive it. You got to give, and then you got to lay hold of it. You got to do this by faith, saints. You got to do it by faith. Receive it by laying hold of it. Lay hold of it, and then take it in. Give it. Some of you need to make this profession right now. Everybody in this place, make this profession. Lord God, you are my Lord. You are the controller of my life. And I give you that lordship. I give you my life for whatever purpose, for whatever plan, for whatever ultimate end you have for me. I give my life. I surrender my will. I surrender my plan. I surrender my feelings. I surrender my needs and my desires. You are Lord. Now fill me to the full with your very spirit, which will empower me to give my life in Jesus' name. Receive it right now. 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 Receive it. Receive it.
Oh, he's doing it everywhere. He's doing it everywhere. He's doing it everywhere. Oh, yes. You have lived. You didn't die because you will proclaim the glory of the Lord. You will proclaim the works of God. For the Lord is even going to give you a ministry of ultimate confrontation. If you will embrace it, if you will grab yourself into it, you will come into ultimate confrontations. And the Spirit of God is not just in the ultimate confrontations in the spiritual realm which you have known and which you have experienced, where you've had to tear down and you've had to exercise the kingdom of God. But now you're going to deal with the ultimate battleground, the soul of man. Not just to the level of salvations, but to the level of ultimate confrontations. And you're going to bring, it's not even for the nations. It is for your own people. That you will bring people to ultimate confrontations with the Spirit of God, because the Lord is going to deposit that into those foreign nations. But you have got to declare this, a word of ultimate confrontations. And this is the word of the Lord to you, brother and sister. Ultimate confrontations is going to well up inside your spirit. And you are going to declare a prophetic word, not prefaced in understanding or knowledge or in the fluency of speech, but where you're going to the soul of man with the fire of God. Jesus, you're healing this. Your daughter, you're healing her in her deepest souls, oh God. Oh, she's been abused. She's been ravaged, oh God. I don't know the history of you, but I see just such absolute degradation and such humiliation. And the Lord is going to remove the bondages and he's going to give you the life. Oh, hallelujah. Just receive it right now. It's yours, it's yours, sis. It's yours, it's yours. Are we ready? Are we ready? How precious is it? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, you thought he was done. You thought he stuck you in a cubby hole somewhere that he wasn't going to emanate out any longer. But the Lord is going to even alter you in the very character of the ministry that he's laid upon you. Don't worry, you're part of that. And your struggle with purpose and why and when and how and Lord, I feel so useless. And I feel as though I have nothing to give and there's nothing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to do it. The Holy Spirit's asked you. He's demanded of you to give that to him. And then he is going to fill you with his purpose. Now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Glory.
Are we ready for these ultimate confrontations?
How many of you settled it in your soul? Come here, Brother Glenn. Have you settled it in your soul? Is it settled in your soul? Oh, hallelujah. For Sonny's brought you to this. He's brought you to this. For you've confronted ultimate ends. And many times you've faced the finger of God. You've had to deal with the peril of rejection, disappointment, destruction on every side and at every hand. But you've bore it as a good soldier of the cross. And I say, I'm pleased, son. For yet I am going to take you even further. And I'm even going to deal with you in the nighttime. And I'm going to call you aside. For I have yet some alteration to do, and I have yet some ministry to bestow. I have yet giftings to pour forth. For I have called this place to an ultimate end time purpose. No longer will you be able to fancy, nor will others be able to fancy, for when they step in these doors, I will demand of excellence. I will demand the excellency of the knowledge of my spirit. I will demand of my very glory to be manifest in everything that is said and done, for I have placed a heavy and weighty call upon you this hour. And when you thought you were looking for an end, I am bringing you into a beginning. I will strengthen you in this hour, my son. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will. I will strengthen you this hour. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody give him the praise that he's worthy of, would you? Give him the praise that he's worthy of. Give him the praise, give him the praise, give him the praise, give him the praise. I surrender all. You can eat your meal later. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. It's got new meaning, doesn't it? It's got new meaning this morning, doesn't it? It's afternoon. It's got new meaning. I surrender. I surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing it again. I surrender. I surrender. It's all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. I gotta do it one more time. Let's sing the verse. All to Jesus I surrender. It's all to thee that I freely give. I will never love. And I'll trust you. Your presence. Daily live. Come on, sing it to him. Everything that's in you, everything that's in you, with all your soul, bless him. I surrender all. Yes, I mean, in a way you've never done it before, in a way you've never sung it before. Don't care who's sitting beside you, who's standing near you. Let it go. Let it roll. Oh, I mean, deep, thorough. Don't care how good it sounds. Don't care whether you're on key or off key. Just give it to him one more time. Everything. Yes, I surrender. Oh, I surrender all. Yes, I surrender all. Oh, yes, it's sweet. Come on. Big. It's all to thee. Woe to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh,
yes, Lord. Ora me asse a te de beso, yorra vara che te revedesce, mindoloso ito ricchi. Oh, 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 oh. My soul says yes, hallelujah. My soul says yes. Oh, my soul says yes, Lord. My soul says yes to your will, Lord. My soul says yes, yes, yes. Yes, I will. My soul says yes. Come on, sing it again. Yes. My soul says yes, yes, yes. Excuse me. My say yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Free him by the power of your spirit. In the name of the Lord. Lord wants to love on you. In the name of Jesus. You see, you thought he just wanted to demand things from you. But he really wants to love on you. He really wants to love on you. Let him do it right now. Oh, let him do it. Let him do it. I need a real sweet, spirit-filled woman. Just come over here and just love on her. In Jesus' name. I'll go with him. Will you go with him? I'll go with him too. Garden, I'll go with him, with him. Oh, you mean it this time, don't you? All the way, no matter what all the way is, that's where I'm going. Where he leads me, I, you know, it's so sweet, I just don't want to stop. Do you? I mean, if you want to go eat, go ahead. Just line up and they'll feed you. Oh, I will follow. Come on, sing it to him, sing it to him, sing it to him. Where he leads me, he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him. Oh, the way. Come on, brother.
I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I'll go with him. I'll go all the way. Oh, Jesus. You know, in the ministry, I've been in the ministry for a while. Many things have happened. Many things have happened. But you know, it's all worth it. It is all worth it. It's all worth it. I thank God for my brother Glenn and my mom, Pastor Irma. You see, I'm adopted. You see, I've been thrown out of everywhere because of preaching the gospel, for wanting to be holy, for wanting to be righteous, for wanting to be like Jesus. You see, we had a church, and we're preaching deliverance. But see, we're not preaching it right. When you start preaching the gospel and you start doing it right, you always find opposition. People want to be exalted. I don't want to be exalted. But other people wanted to be exalted.
And see, people weren't getting free. You know, the devil make you think you're casting out devils, give people, want to blow them up. But when you start to do it for real, then you come against and you throw it out. Something wrong with you. But I thank God, there's nothing wrong with me. I was standing there, and God told me from the beginning of my life, I was born to be a martyr. And I knew it. And I said, oh, God, I don't want to go. God said, you got to go, son. So I made a decision. I'm going regardless. I got to give it. I have to give my life regardless of what it is. Because it's not mine. Our lives are not ours. We've been purchased with scars. Before the foundation of the world, God called us. He chose us for this hour, for this time. For this time, we were born into this world to come to this place of total surrender. People read the word and we say, what's going on? God wants everything. This brother said, are you willing to die for it, to give your life? When we say, when the word says, those who would give their life for the gospel's sake would find life eternal. Those who would, you know, we got to be willing to lose it. But if we try to hold on to it, we're going to lose our lives. You know, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful while he was preaching. I said, God, my God in heaven, just illuminate every being in here. You got a lot of places don't want to hear the gospel. They turned their ears to it. My brother Colonel here was talking, and he was saying, that's right. That's right. We were sharing early this morning. We always want somebody to do this and to do that. People wanted Moses. You talk to God. We don't want to hear it ourselves. God's dealing individually today. He's dealing individually with our lives. I think Pastor Coffey and them, they laid it. Oh, my. Things that were there we had to deal with in our lives. We had to deal with in our lives if we're going to walk right. Oh, God, I thank God for a place like this. There are many that are hurting. Many that are hurting that don't know where to go and to get help. I just praise God for his love and for his mercy. I thank him for his love and mercy. God, he's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful.
Come on, somebody give him a praise, would you? Just give Jesus a praise.
Well, I just believe and pray for this anointing to go through the kitchen and the basement and the dormitories and the fire of the Holy Ghost to flow out from here across the camping areas and back through the timber, and the deer back there and the animals back there will rejoice in the Lord with the anointing that flows forth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At this place, when the people come and they say, what a nice presence there is here. Well, it's the Holy Ghost. Let them come and feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost and cause them to be convicted and turn from their way and call on the Lord. Well, let's see. I guess we better just have the afternoon service at about 2:30. How about doing that? Okay, we'll come in here and praise the Lord about 2:30 for a while. And Bill's got to have some help now to sing. He can't. Some of you get up here and help a little more. Help him sing. Brother Coffey and the girls have been helping him, but his voice has got to last through tomorrow morning yet. So he needs some help up here to help him. Amen. Father, we thank you for the food that Tony and they prepared in the kitchen. We thank you for this spirit to overflow in the kitchen and in the food and in the drink, Father. We bless Baker health to our bodies and health to our flesh. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.